kitchen and I started to cook, and Srila Prabhupada started to eat again, and I don't remember whether I asked Srila Prabhupada, most rarely I asked before going to the kitchen to cook, that whether I could cook for him, and Srila Prabhupada gave an affirmative answer, and I was very, very happy that once again I can start cooking for Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada would start to eat. And Prabhupada was not eating very much. He would just take a little bite because he, as he said himself, he didn't have any appetite. So I just would cook and offer it to Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada would sit down and take. One day after Srila Prabhupada took his lunch, he asked me whether I knew where Gopinath Bazaar was. So I told Prabhupada that that was my first visit to Vrindavan, so I didn't know any place at all. But I asked Prabhupada, tell me what you wanted there, I can always go there and get it for you. And Prabhupada said, no, just get somebody, local devotee who knows this place, and just call him. But I didn't want to let this wonderful opportunity of rendering some service to Srila Prabhupada go away like that. So I insisted that Vrindavan is a small place and I can take a rickshaw and find out where Gopinath Bazaar is. And then Srila Prabhupada said, okay, go to Gopinath Bazaar. And there is an Ayurvedic doctor called Banamali Kaviraj. So you go to him and tell him about me. He knows me, and tell him that I needed him, I wanted him to treat me. So in the afternoon I just took a rickshaw. It was not difficult to find Gopinath Bazaar. Rickshaw wala knew. He took me there. And it was also not difficult to find Banamali Kaviraj. I just asked one shopkeeper where was the clinic or office set up of Banamali Kaviraj. And he pointed out it was a small little shop, small shop actually. There was a table and there was an old man sitting there. His name is Banamali Kaviraj. So I approached him and I told him that Srila Prabhupada sent me to him to ask him to, that he wanted him to treat him. So Banamali Kaviraj, later on I found out that he was 92 years old. He was a very old man, thin, small man, and with a very bright face and bright eyes, as if his body may have aged, but his spirit was still young. And so I asked him to treat Srila Prabhupada, that's what he wanted. Then he said that he's too old to go anywhere. He just comes to his dispensary from his home and he spends a few hours there and treats some patients and then he goes back home. So I insisted that, look, Prabhupada wanted you to treat him, so please come. And I told him that I'll take you in a rickshaw. But he told me that the jerk of the rickshaw will be too much for him. And so, and I was insisting, I was begging and I fell at his feet and I told him to come. Then finally, after a lot of persuasion, he agreed to come and I took him to Krishna Balaram temple. And he treated Srila Prabhupada. Then he told me that the medicine that he would give, that had to be freshly made, and what to do about that. So I told him that, why don't you stay here, we'll arrange for you in a room in the guest house. But he declined. He said no, he couldn't stay in the guest house, he'll have to go back home. And then I told him, okay, then you can teach me how to make the medicine. And so he liked that idea. So he took me to the field and he showed me two plants. One is called Punarnava and the other is called Pathar Kuchi. So he asked me, he collected the leaves of those two plants and then he pulled out some salt. One was white, like regular salt. Later on I got to know that it was actually sodium nitrate. And there was a reddish kind of a salt. I forgot, he told me the name, but I forgot the name. And it was like a rust-colored salt. And so he showed me how to make the juice of those leaves, Punarnava and Pathar Kuchi, and mix the salt, and he gave the quantity, small dose of the salt, so mixed in that, and then give it to Srila Prabhupada. So I started to give that medicine, and every day I used to go with Srila Prabhupada's car to Gopinath Bazar and pick him up and bring him to see Srila Prabhupada. And it seemed that his treatment had a positive effect and Prabhupada's health condition started to improve. But when Prabhupada's health condition started to improve, then Prabhupada became restless. He started to say that he wanted to go to the West and preach. And he would even say that a soldier doesn't lie on bed. It's a disgrace for a soldier to lie on bed. And Tamalkrishna Maharaj also was encouraging Prabhupada to go to the West. And of course he was encouraging Prabhupada because he thought that this would revive Srila Prabhupada's spirit and his health. But when I told Banamali Kaviraj that Prabhupada was actually planning to go to the West, and then Banamali Kaviraj told me, please don't let him go now. The medicine is working and when his body becomes a little strong, I will give him Makaradhvaj and Makaradhvaj will build him up. But he told me that he wanted to keep the Makaradhvaj in winter because by the time Prabhupada's health will improve, and the cold of the winter also would help him retain the Makaradhvaj. So I told that to Tamalkrishna Maharaj. Tamalkrishna Maharaj said, see, Prabhupada himself wants to go and how can we stop him? And I also left it at that. And besides that, you know, those days we had a feeling that Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee and Prabhupada can do anything. And this is just Prabhupada's pastimes. So Prabhupada is not really affected by his body, and it's not, Prabhupada is not dependent upon medicine and so forth. So I also kind of gave in to that idea that Srila Prabhupada wanted to go leave for the West and go and preach there. And he also wanted to continue to translate the 10th canto. Prabhupada's plan was to go to London first, and then to New York, to Gita Nagari, then to Los Angeles, and from Los Angeles to Hawaii. So the day came when Srila Prabhupada was to leave for London, and the flight was in the morning, so Prabhupada had to leave at night and drive to Delhi airport. And Prabhupada was all dressed up and ready to leave, waiting for the other devotees to tell him when to leave, and I was sitting at his feet. And then Srila Prabhupada asked me, aren't you coming? So I told him that no, I was not going. Prabhupada asked, why aren't you coming? And I told him that I didn't have my passport with me. And the other reason, of course, was nobody actually asked me to accompany Srila Prabhupada. And I just accepted that because I thought that when Prabhupada was in India, I was serving him, it was all right. But when he goes to the West, there's no need for me to go with him. But when Prabhupada heard that I was not coming with him, he was very concerned. And that's why I just told him that I didn't have, which is also a fact, that I didn't have my passport with me at that time. So I also had to have a visa to go to America. So then Prabhupada told me that, okay, so you come and join me in Hawaii. Prabhupada's plan was that he would go to, ultimately he'd go to Hawaii and just stay there. So he just told me that I should go and meet him in Hawaii. So I was very, very ecstatic that Srila, once again I'll be able to be with Srila Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada drove through the night to Delhi, and he was sitting waiting for the flight, surrounded by the devotees. And when the announcement was made that the boarding, calling the passengers for boarding the aircraft, I just approached Srila Prabhupada and placed my lotus feet. I approached Srila Prabhupada and placed my head at his lotus feet, praying that Krishna will allow me to be with him again soon. And Srila Prabhupada was also very compassionate, and when I looked up, I saw he was smiling with an eye full of compassion. He was looking at me. And then the devotees who were going with him just helped him to walk through the customs and immigrations and go to the aircraft. End of the podcast for today.